Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 12. And begin reading at verse 36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this evening in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we see these words that were spoken of, and as we hear these words that were spoken of by your beloved Son, Jesus, how powerful those words are. Help us, Lord, not only to understand them, but to live them as your Son lived them, and as your prophet in this hour lived them. For we ask this in Christ's precious name, your Son, our eldest brother. Amen. You may be seated. But I say unto thee, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Those are very powerful words given by our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 31, Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be given unto men, or forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, and remember that fruit is the teaching of the season, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. So we see the evidence that the tree is good is that it has correct teaching for the season. And the evidence that the tree is corrupt is that its teaching is wrong for the season. And remember, men are likened unto trees, as we see in Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm 1 and verse 1 we read, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit. And remember, that's the teaching of the season. He bringeth forth his fruit, his teaching of the season, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. That means they do not bring forth the teaching of the season in the right season, but are like the chaff, that's Pentecostals, which the winds of doctrine, driveth away. And remember, Brother Brown taught us that the Pentecostals are the chaff. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And that word knoweth was translated from the Hebrew word yada, and it means he actively watches over the way of the righteous. In other words, God careth to you. He careth to you. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that word perish was translated from the Hebrew word abad, which means to be left to themselves and thus have no way to flee. So we see God watches over with an active participation. He cares for you. But he leaves the others to themselves. And of course, if they're left to themselves, Proverbs 16:25 says, There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So sometimes, you know, when you open your big mouth and you say things that are hurtful, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. But just remember this, you will be held accountable for those words. And those words will be played back at the white throne judgment. Now, getting back to Matthew 12:33, For the tree is known by his fruit. You see, the tree is known by what he teaches. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? It's impossible. How can you, being evil, get the doctrine right? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. So what Jesus is saying here is that if you don't have it right in the heart, then you won't have it right out from the mouth. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So it is not so much your actions that will condemn you, but what you say that matters. That's why I've been preaching it hard lately, because I believe with all my heart, we've got to learn to control the tongue. We've got to learn to say things that are pleasing unto God. Righteous to the righteous. Now this evening we'll be speaking from Brother Branham's thoughts on paragraphs 22 to 24 of his sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed, where he said, some years ago I heard that a woman, now this may not be authentic, that licked her tongue in radium while mixing it to put on hands of dials of clocks and watches. And it killed a woman. And years later, keeping her skull for an autopsy-like, they said that you could take instruments, whatever they used, and put against that skull bone, and with a rumble you could still hear the radium going on in her skull after she had been dead years. Radium continually goes on. Now why would he say this? Well, listen to what he says next. The word of God continually goes on. I'm told that if we would pick up an instrument that could catch it, that a man's voice, my voice that I speak today, 10,000 years from now, could still be picked up in the air. But what about the things that you say that are hard? You know, just because you have an attitude doesn't mean that you should say it. Listen. A man's voice, my voice that I speak today, 10,000 years from now, could still be picked up in the air. It's like dropping a pebble in the middle of a pond. And the teeny little waves, after they fail to be seen by the eye, continue on till it hits the bank. And the air wave of our voices continually travels around and around the world. Therefore, then, our voice, what we say, will be our judgment. Just so that we all understand what I'm saying here, I want you to repeat this. Therefore, what we say will be our judgment. Okay, there's no excuses now. And now there's only one way to stop that voice that's wrong. Well, let me just go back. Our testimony will rise right against us. Our own voices will echo in our ears at the judgment bar of God when His great instrument catches every voice that's been spoke, every word that's been muttered. Every word that comes out of your mouth is going to be played back for everyone. Not just the 6 billion people or 7 billion living today, but the billions and billions and billions throughout the ages. Everyone is going to hear your voice and the words that you said. And you are going to stand there in such humility and humiliation for saying the things that you've said in private. And it'll be exposed to all. And now there's only one way to stop that voice that's wrong. And that's repent. God alone can stop it. If it doesn't, it goes on and meets up with you in the eternity. Therefore, God being perfect and His voice eternal, His own voice will have to catch up with it. Therefore, He must be perfect in every decision. For when He once says something, it has to go all the way and come back to the judgment. Now notice he's talking about words, for he says, the airwave of our voices continually travels around and around the world. Therefore then our voice, what we say, will be our judgment. But thanks be to God, there is a way to stop that recording. And that is to repent. And so what does it mean to repent, Adam? Okay, change of mind. Well, but you've got to have fruits, meat for repentance. In other words, repent means to change your mind, change your thinking. So if your words are sharp and cutting all the time, then to repent means that you must change your words. You must make a conscious effort to change your words from sharp and cutting to showing brotherly love and kindness. Like Brother Branham said, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say nothing at all. Just shut your mouth. Because they're going to be played back on the day of judgment. Repent means to change course. It means change your mind. And that is the only way that they will be nullified at the white throne judgment. Now, why did Brother Branham make such a great effort to show love and kindness to everyone if it is not important to God? Why did Jesus tell us that every idle word that we speak will be held in account at that great day of judgment? What's an idle word? Nick? Words that don't mean anything. Little talk. Gossip. Now, these are serious words that we must consider because we are drawing very near the end, and we should be taking inventory of where we are, whether we are acceptable or not with God, and where we are not. If you think that just because you have the right doctrine and you have that you have your ticket home, you had better think again. The devil knows the right doctrine. He knows that there's only one God. And he knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and yet he's doomed for destruction. Now, we know that Brother Branham did not come with anything new, but he came to restore that which was lost or left undone. Therefore, if it is no small thing, then to find the same words he spoke, we should be able to find them by the apostles and by Jesus himself. And we already read what Jesus said. Because if Jesus said it, the apostles had to preach the same thing. And Brother Branham didn't come to teach his own thoughts. He came to say what had already been said. And Jesus said, the words that I speak, my Father commanded me what to say. So they're not just Jesus' words. He didn't come to bring his own thoughts. He came to teach us what God wants. In John 12:49, he says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Didn't Brother Branham say the bride would have, thus saith the Lord, or she keep still, she'd shut her mouth? Listen. If what you say about somebody, even if it's family, harsh, cruel things, if what you say about somebody isn't thus saith the Lord, then shut up. Just stifle it. Bite the tongue. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, James wrote an entire chapter on this thought. In James chapter 3, we read, beginning at verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters. Everybody's a know-it-all. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. He's complete, he's mature. And able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and serpents, and things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue. No man can tame it. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, is gentle, easy to be entreated. It gets along. It doesn't look for something negative in everything that's said. It gets along. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. In other words, it doesn't condemn somebody for doing the same thing you do. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In other words, the mouth should be a reflector of a spirit that's at peace with God, at peace with men. And Brother Branham said that what he spoke was only what Paul had spoken. And we find in Romans 14 and 10, Paul telling us exactly what Jesus already said. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God, and let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, we should all know that the judge standeth before the door. For the white wig on that picture shows us that the supreme judge has come. And if we're standing in the presence of the judge, you don't open your mouth unless you're called to open your mouth. That's court due process. Now, Jesus told us in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, is it scripture that you're saying or is it not? If it's your own opinion, toss it out. It's no good. If it's God's word, hold on to it. Hold fast to that which is good. And again he said in Luke 6:37, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive. Yeah, that's a new word. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Wow. You mean if I forgive, I'll be forgiven? Absolutely. Too many people, when they make a mistake, instead of going to the person that they hurt, they say, God, forgive me. Okay, God, I know you forgive me. You're not forgiven. I'm sorry, but you're not forgiven if you went to God only. You need to go to the person that you hurt and ask forgiveness. Again, in Matthew 7, verse 1, he says, judge not that ye shall not be judged. And James 4 and verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother or sister and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Hey, you don't want to stand before the white throne and have every single little stupid thing that you've said in your life blasted out for all people that ever lived to hear? For if we would judge ourselves, if you're going to be critical of anyone, be critical of yourself. Like Brother Mamelis said, not Mamelis, Brother Marconda said years ago, if you're going to be legalistic concerning yourself, not concerning others. So you see, if you are going to judge anything, let it first be ourselves that we judge. As Brother Branham said, I believe one time, said, if you got a finger pointing at somebody, you got three pointing back at yourself. Paul also said in Romans 14:13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And again in Romans 4:14 and verse 3, he said, let not him that eateth despiseth him that eateth not. And let not he, excuse me. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. I think in these hours, with the thoughts on diet so prevalent, I think it's very strong words of application that need to be applied in our lives. Again, in James chapter 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth in the presence of the door. And if we know the judge standeth at the door, then why do we still hold grudges? Unless that person is doing something that is strictly against the Scripture, then just keep still and let God show them where they are wrong. You know, patience is a sign of maturity. You ought to be able to wait. They that wait upon the Lord are the ones that get the promise. We must learn to wait. Never be in a rush. God doesn't work in rushes. Well, he put a man in a bull rush, but that's the only rush that I know. Even Jesus said that he could not judge except with the word which God gave him to do so. In John 5 and verse 30, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now, unless your judgment is scriptural, keep it to yourself. Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. And you know, that's the key. What does God have to say about it? That's what's important. Not what you think, but you need to die out to yourself and let Christ live through you. Jesus told us in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He said, I didn't come to judge. You know, you see somebody's not doing something, you think, just let it be. Pray for the person instead of getting on the phone and telling everybody. In Jude 1 verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, and Brother Branham said Michael was Christ, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke you. Not I rebuke you, but the Lord, the Word, rebuke you. And that's how we should govern our tongues in this last hour. We should not be saying things that are cruel and indifferent to one another. We're family. We should do what we can to help those who need help. And we should not get angry with those who cannot do for themselves, even though we think that they should. Look, what I'm saying here is that we need to begin to get ready for the rapture, if you're not already doing so. And every saint of God I know, as they get closer to crossing over, I'm talking about the older ones, knowing they're going over, they begin to make amends. They begin to make amends even to their enemies. And they begin to talk good of everyone. And just remember, Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we seem to be living in a day of a 20th century negative confession. People always looking at the negative side of things. But that's not what you told us to focus on. If you see something to praise about, then praise. If there's something pure, then we should focus on those things. If there's something lovely, we should comment on that. The world is full of negative. That's what sells newspapers. That's what sells television. Negative thinking. Everybody trying to find dirt on somebody. But Father, I believe that one of these days, the rapture will take place, the catching away, the resurrected saints among us. And if we're filthy, we'll be filthy still. So help us, Lord, to be righteous, to be rightly wise, never to let a negative confession come out of our mouth. And this we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now you've been given the word. Go live it. Don't let another negative thought come out of your mouth. If it comes to your mind, like Brother Brown said, quoting Martin Luther, the devil comes into the tree, don't let him make a nest. Let him just keep flying over. Because he will come. But it's your duty to boot him out. Let's sing that song together. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.